And after anxiously awaiting the sequel, some Atlanta fans are a little out of this world.
Nigel, a runner.
Null Pointer, runner.
Stevens, agent.
Simon, a runner.
Freeman, 713. I am a sentinel.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 18th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, here in the Classic Factory, Tass Millis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, making the magic happen, Super Producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Guys, big anniversary today. Tass letting us know mere 5 minutes before we went live. Hey, I think today's our 16th anniversary of this show. Yes, 16 years ago today, Tass, myself, and JD, I guess, got together in JD's old apartment and
nothing's
recorded.
Nothing's changed then, really, has it?
Nothing's changed. It's creepy.
You need four hands now. That's a lot of hands.
That's a lot of hands. 16 years. Yeah. Wow, been in this game for years.
Wow.
It's crazy.
You know, that
it's
means
made him an animal.
The Kobe Bryant 81 game is a couple of days away here, isn't it?
That's true.
Exactly like, right, yep. Lily.
Was that like episode 3 or something like that?
Maybe 2. Yeah, it's something like that. Because we weren't doing it daily.
Yeah.
Right off the jump. We were doing, I guess, once a week to start with. So yeah, you're right. I think it was maybe the second or third episode.
Crazy
Kobe
stuff.
Kobe went for 81 against our Raptors.
Oh,
and then
man.
We were forced to talk about it.
And what about when you asked Sam Mitchell about that, Tassie? Didn't you ask him about it one time?
Yeah.
He said, what are we supposed to do?
And, you got a chance to ask Kobe about
it. I asked Kobe about that, yes.
Which is
he
pretty cool.
Forced him to apologize. And he said, sorry, yes. That was a moment.
Email in your NBA questions to us, nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Fun show here today because we're going to do MLK Day /NBA Long Weekend. Winners and losers. So we have a lot to talk about. I will say right from the start here, we're not going to get to everything. I know there's going to be a Miles Bridges fan out there. It's going to be pissed off.
Hey, maybe we'll mention
okay,
Miles Bridges.
Well, I just did.
Miles,
so you can't be pissed off. But we won't get to absolutely every big performance or, you know, every big winning streak from your team maybe or losing streak when we get to losers. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. We got a 60 to 90 minutes here to talk. And
60?
Well, we're probably going to go 20 minutes.
Maybe 14 years
ago. If we're being honest. We'll do 20 minutes on our big road trip. And that's the real winner of the weekend. Lee, we missed you. I got to say... But the three of us and our buddy Grish, yes, not my buddy Grish, not his, ours, we made the trip to Memphis to watch the Bulls play the Grizzlies there yesterday on MLK Day. Turns out it's a long drive from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Memphis.
Miles of bridges.
Yeah. I was scouring for that cheap flight, actually.
I mean, next time we're doing it, we're flying. Yeah. It's like a 45-minute flight.
Yeah.
And what type of deals were you getting there? $100?
It's the thing. What I've got to do, right, is buy a one-way to Memphis and then get someone from Memphis to buy a one-way to Atlanta. You might be able to game the system a bit.
The return flight.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
That's it. It's $100 to get there, but it's like $350 return.
Wow.
So anyway.
Well, you would have missed out on the, the joy of a long road trip.
Yeah,
you know?
One way is fine.
You didn't want to come back.
Not the same day. I'm like, I don't know if I want to, you know, how long did it take?
Tassie was a damn trooper, man. We
a
did.
A long time.
It was
it
like
took a
six.
A long
it's
time.
A basically a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
It's a 5.5-6 hour drive. We made it longer on the way there.
A lot of people say it's a one road shot to Memphis.
I mean,
turns out it's a 3-road shot to Memphis, but you know, you gotta go west at Birmingham, as they say.
Technically it is one road.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they changed the numbers of the highway all of a sudden.
We screwed up on the way there.
Wow. That was my fault, yeah.
No, well, I mean, look, it's gotta go a little bit to the driver, but also the passenger.
Cocky. I was cocky. I just don't know why the highway numbers changed. I mean, logic would say it wouldn't, but who knows?
Lee, we got to basically Birmingham again on our drive to Memphis, which is where you go.
Yeah, I've been there.
And then, you're supposed to then really start going a little bit north as you go west. And we just continued. We continued a little too far south. Still going west, but we added about an hour to our commute. And
when you're in an electric vehicle.
It gets better. No, we weren't in an electric vehicle.
Oh, you weren't? You didn't take your electric. Oh, okay.
Can you imagine what we would have been like if we were in an electric vehicle in that scenario, having missed it? We were saying the whole time, I love 20. I love 20.
Do you love 20, Lee? The inner
20's fine.
Oh,
yeah.
20's great.
It's great, right? Up until Birmingham. But then you're going to want your 22 once you get there. We also had a great moment when we finally found 22 again, getting closer into Memphis. We saw the east, passed it by. The west was right there. And we had the literal swerving off a highway meme.
Wow. Got there.
Tested. Yeah.
Smooth move.
Best driver I know.
Got there. Yeah. Got there. I just wanted you guys to have the electric car experience by adding that 45 to 50 minute charge.
Right.
Slash.
I'm glad we didn't do that.
No.
So
no,
rather than charge, just take the scenic route to get there.
But it was sort of brilliant going the wrong way, going to Memphis, adding at least an hour to our commute. Because on the way home,
50 minutes.
We flew home.
Yeah, right.
We took the right way home. So it was easy.
Are they still doing road work about an hour and a half out? Because I know when I've driven out to Alabama, there's always road work out there. And I'm like, well, you don't want to run into that when you've got a bit of a tight time limit there.
On our way home, we had some road work. We had some trucks flashing each other.
What's going on?
Also, we got to say, we got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, that's fine. That's the way it goes.
Trying to make up some time.
Yeah. I mean,
because we were going to miss the game. It was getting close.
Yeah, it's all part of it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Great state patrolman, though. He's a real Southern lawyer, if we're being honest about it.
We got ourselves a ticket. Thank you, Officer Morgan. We appreciate your cordial. We know nobody likes to get one.
Yeah.
Well, you can do a driving course there on the internet.
I don't know if your internet's a little different in Georgia.
That's what
anyways, Officer Morgan, appreciate it.
Good guy.
So we did get to the game, so let's talk about it and your experience. All of our first time in Memphis. Have you been?
I've been to Memphis. Yeah, I've been to a Grind game. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So you've been to the Grindhouse, but I mean, Tess, what did you think of the game itself and the arena and the fans and all that stuff?
Listen, it's just there's a short window here where you can experience Ja as a young player on the rise. This is just it's a special time, even as a person who's been doing a basketball podcast for 16 years. There is this short period. He's 22 years of age. He is on the rise. There's only one point where you can experience this type of Ja Morant,
right?
And to see it in person, even though it wasn't a particularly amazing Ja Morant game,
right?
There were special moments where he did those couple of layups when he gets into the lane, and we had a great view. Our vantage point was pretty great, just a little bit up, you know, kind of behind the hoop in the corner of the tunnel, pretty much where the exit tunnel is, to have a direct line to the key where he's able to, you know, he's going north-south, and then all of a sudden he goes east-west in a matter of, you know, just milliseconds, and it's an incredible thing to watch from that vantage point. He's just so special. What I desire is to see replays of his footwork, you know, when he's going north-south and then he goes east-west, the feet light up, like where his footprints are. That's what I want, because I think that's what I want to watch. It is so beautiful. And then to see that spin move in person,
it made it worth it, because the game, you know, the Grizzlies, like, well, we'll get to the Bulls
after
and, you
the
know,
first
the
quarter
performance.
Was
yeah,
over,
it was over in a hurry, and they poured it on. But then we got the Steven Adams, Tony Bradley thing. You know, talking about footprints. There was no footprints for Tony Bradley with Adams carrying him there in the sand.
Yeah.
But then, we got the Ja Morant play, which was what really you're hoping for. And he is on the short list of, like, players in the league that you should... I mean, look, if you've got the money, you should go see them in person. You should experience that. It's like a handful of guys. It's sort of better. It's a different experience seeing him in person.
Yeah, it was awesome. I went to bed with like a grin on my face, just trying to think, have I ever seen a move like an ooh and ah move as cool as the Ja 360 layup? Because like you're saying, Tass, we had the perfect angle for that one with the way the lane had split open and he got the finish up to the rim. It looked better from where we were sitting than on the broadcast. No offense, suckers. But it definitely did, because I rewatched it, obviously, a million times since then. But I've got, like, only one that's even close to it. Like, I saw a LeBron game his rookie year. He caught the ball on the sideline and put it behind his back before he, like, hit the ground. It was super cool back then. But, like, to see a 360 layup, like, you can see a game winner. You can see a 60-point game. But to see a move that, like, literally leaves the crowd oohing and aahing, that felt special to me. So, yeah, totally worth the price of admission, which for us was a 7-hour drive there and a 5-hour drive back.
Didn't cost us anything,
but it was awesome.
Yeah.
I will tell you, perhaps the most humiliating thing in the world is when your team keeps missing shots and the Grizzlies PA announcer or their music just plays nope.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Every time my man Vooch would go for a shot, brick it. Nope. I'm just, come on, guys. You're killing me here. Nope.
Great. Well, yeah, I started watching it. It was tied there, and then the Grizzlies went on like a 16-0 run in the second quarter, and sort of that was it, really, wasn't it? I mean, the Bulls never really got close after that. So you are hoping for that memorable moment, and you got it there late there from Jar. So, yeah, would have been fun to be there. Wish I was there. Wish I could have made it, but unfortunately, I have to wait till March 18. I think he's in Atlanta.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll be down at the Fortress, hopefully, for that one?
Yes, I think so, for sure.
Any other, you know, just random observations from either the game or the experience?
Go ahead, Trey.
From the game, yeah, like you're saying, Skeets, the game was over in the fourth quarter. The Bulls made a little fake run to get it to like 15 with a few minutes left. Ja really shut the door, but they put in the garbage time lineup eventually. Got a huge John Conchar dunk, which I was happy to see. I thought Jaren Jackson Jr. played a really solid game, 5 blocks. He was scoring on the block. I mean, he wasn't scoring a ton, but every time they dumped it down to him, he would get a pretty good shot. He had a huge dunk left-handed. I remember looking up several times during the game. The Grizzlies will put up hustle stats, is what it said. And it was like second chance points, offensive rebounds, both offensive rebounds and second chance points. Because sometimes you grab them, you don't make them. Yeah. Turnovers, points off turnovers, assists, three-pointers maybe. And the Grizzlies led in every single category for at least the entire second half. And I was like, well, that seems to make sense because the Bulls couldn't throw a pass across the lane without it getting stolen. It was either Jaren Jackson Jr. or one of the 5 Kyle Andersons that were out there getting their hand on every single ball. All of the bigs for the Grizzlies I thought were awesome. Like, Steven Adams was really setting the tone inside. Jaren Jackson Jr., like I said, had a great game. Brandon Clark was solid with his energy whenever he came in. He had a huge dunk in the fourth quarter as well that got the crowd really jazzed up. And Kyle Anderson was great defensively as well. So I thought we saw the perfect grit and grind kind of game from the Grizzlies.
It was a smash. It ended up being a blowout, unfortunately. Yeah, because the hustle stats were with the Grizzlies, and I think if you're going to be even the slightest of pessimists with the Grizzlies, even though you can really only be an optimist, maybe that's where things could go a little bit haywire in the playoffs, because the effort level of the other team will be matched. Mm-hmm. Will be matching this Grizzlies team that kicks ass in transition, that just does the dirty work. You know, they're so good offensively on the boards. Maybe that gets matched in the playoffs a little bit. And in that transition, the defense won't be, you know, that won't, you know, go south in the playoffs, but Jaren Jackson Jr. was so good to block two balls in transition like that, two shots in transition. That doesn't happen very often. He was really, really impressive on that end. And yeah, it was good to see him in person and to see Desmond Bane in person. I mean,
the guns are immaculate.
They are. And as you've said, Skeets, the vibes are immaculate.
They are.
The vibes were great, man. The vibes were great.
With the team,
someone tweeted
it.
Was it the Grizzlies? I think a team tweeted that. The vibes are immaculate. I'm not sure if it was them or not.
I think they have in the past, for sure. And it's true.
It's true.
I mean, you've been to the FedEx Forum. It does. I mean, you said it the other day, Tass, without having ever been there yet. You're like, it does have a college vibe to it. I think that's fair. It's not a big arena. Mm-hmm. You know, the concourse isn't that big. It's fairly dated, I guess, at this point. It's fine. It looks,
guess so, yeah.
It does the trick, but it's like, I like how, like, just sort of like on top of each other.
Small and tall is what it felt like.
Totally.
For sure.
I mean, those Grizzlies in the playoffs from the Zach Randolph days, those games were always a tough, tough place to win.
Yeah.
You know, packed environment. Was it packed there yesterday?
It was pretty full.
I guess so, yeah. So it is a good home
game for them.
Yeah,
for
it's sure, a good I'm home right court it. Advantage that they have there, especially when they're winning right now. And I mean, everyone does look like they just really enjoy playing with each other, watching them. So this is a great surprise run that the Grizzlies have been on.
The only thing else I'll add, shout out to the No Dunks fans in attendance. You know, they were repping pretty strong. I saw a Wedgie shirt. I saw a No Dunks shirt. And everybody, like, saying what's up to us. That was really nice of y'all. And then the barbecue nachos from Rendezvous. It came recommended by a couple people on Twitter and lived up to the hype, Lee.
Great.
I mean, not the healthiest, obviously. Yeah, food, but some pulled pork cheese nachos. This, like, sort of sweet but spicy barbecue.
So yeah, but see, you're traveling, so amazing. Rules go out the window a bit there. You got to experience. You know, did you go to Beale Street? Because it's right there.
Well, we did not have a lot of time to do anything else in Memphis.
We did zero walking in Beale, we did some driving. I would say our biggest non-basketball success was Buc-ee's on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
Love Buc-ee's.
Honestly, you hear a lot about, like, a fast food place place or a gas station, you're like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. And to me, it never lives up to the hype until Buc-ee's.
Yep.
You know, I looked it up on the phone. We found the one in Leeds, Alabama. We were going to be pushing it gas-wise to get there. Tass has thrown it into neutral down the hills to save the gas so we can putter in because we knew there were 120 wow. filling stations at Buc-ee's. Literally 120.
Wow. Lee, this
pumps.
Was insane. This
it
gas
was
station.
Massive. We went in. We could have been there for an hour just mm-hmm. like walking around the
it's
store.
It's like a damn Walmart, basically, wow. but for cars and gas, like a gas station. Yeah.
And they had a cook there making food at 10 p.m. at
yeah,
night.
Yeah, 10 p.m. We had a brisket
I
sandwich.
Guess there's a lot of trucks and things going through,
oh,
isn't
yeah.
it? I mean,
everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of truckies and Buc-ee's.
But it's
isn't the Charles Barkley statue around there in Leeds, Alabama?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. You could have. When you were driving, you could have made the. Oh, no, I wanted to go this way. Although you're coming home, actually,
yeah.
at this point. Yeah,
yeah, we had to get home at that point. Yeah. We had a show in the morning. Yeah. it was a lot of fun. Again, shout out to the No Dunks fans in Memphis, and we will be back to, try and experience Beale Street. I guess you got a chance to do that last time.
Yeah, there. Yeah, last time I was there.
It's right by the
arena. Oh, it's right
arena.
There, yeah.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sort of is one of those, like, it's a bit, like, touristy, but there's so many great barbecue and things like that Memphis right. is known for. Yep. So, yeah, great.
Okay. What clips did you get up? You got the John Morant 360. Did you put up the Stephen Adams?
No. Everyone had it, but what an awesome moment that was.
Hilarious.
What's Tony Bradley? 6'11", probably 260,
huge.
Something like
giant.
That. And a little bit of a scuffle there at the end of the game. And Stephen Adams goes in to separate, then just says, all right, I'm taking you like a five-year-old, just throwing a tantrum. And he's like, we're going home right now. And, Stephen Adams. Because he got a foul on an N1. I think it was from Dosunmu. At one point.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those ones, it could have been a dangerous play, but Stephen Adams doesn't take offense to anything.
Not
He'd given
all.
Him a high five.
Stephen Adams was probably like got beaten up by his siblings like every day of his
well,
life.
He was like the 17th in the family
that's
or something
I mean.
Like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. What a great guy he is.
He had a good game. I think that's the best Stephen Adams game I've seen in a long time. He was just super energetic, trying to show Billy Donovan, I think, what he used to be able to do.
Maybe,
he
maybe.
Good out there.
All right, well, that's enough on the Grizzlies. We'll unfortunately touch on the Bulls a little bit later when we get to losers of the long NBA weekend. But, Lee, let's go to you next. Who's your MLK Day winner? Or, again, you can extend it through the weekend.
Well, timing is everything. And Darius Garland, over this last week, may have ended the debate as to whether or not he's going to the All-Star game.
100%.
I think you're probably right.
Well, does Jared Allen go
as well? I mean, that's
well?
The thing. Is it two Cavs or one Cav? I mean.
Because Darius Garland, especially over the weekend, the Friday, Saturday, and Monday, was incredible. Yesterday, he was fantastic in the fourth quarter. Out Kyrie Irving there for the Brooklyn Nets with some of his moves there.
Yep.
I'm going to go specifically, actually, to Saturday night against the OKC Thunder. In a game, the Cavs were down at halftime. In the third quarter, they had 13 field goals, Cleveland. Darius Garland scored 5 of them and was assisted on the other 8 of them in the entire quarter. He was incredible. He finished with a career-high 18 assists in that game. They got the win. Didn't shoot from 3 all that well, but 27-18. Yesterday, had 22-6. And on Friday against the Spurs, 32-8. Eastern Conference Player of the Week he's been. The Cavs here have won 6 of their last 7. And he is honestly playing just so incredibly right now. His confidence and his swagger. Is it swag or swagger? His swag, whatever.
Do
we still use swagger?
Yeah. It's like biopic, you know? It's just a word that's been
short. Why don't you look in the bag you're always talking about?
Well, his bag is so deep right now. He's flinging one-handed passes on the baseline. He's getting inside. He had an incredible spin move there himself yesterday. I said he was out Kyrie. It was just like a Kyrie Irving. He's got the handles. He gets into the paint. He doesn't make the move. He spins and then reverse layups it off the backboard. He was incredible. This is another good game. The Nets were leading in the fourth quarter. No Kevin Durant. But even still, Darius Garland was amazing. So he right now is getting the attention of the people he needs to get, and that's the opposing Eastern Conference coaches, and that is certainly going to add to his strong case already that he's going to be an All-Star in a few weeks' time.
You think he's a lock?
I think so. They are up to 4th in the Eastern Conference right now, and I know it's a huge jumble between 1 and 8 and 9 and 10, but that's why I think you can slow the flow on a Freddie VanVleet All-Star appearance lock.
No. You can lock both of them in.
I'm not so sure, because the Raptors are only one game above 500. They have to have a winning record if the Cavs can climb here. They're only 1.5 out of the top of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. They get the Bulls, who are shelling themselves on Wednesday night. They could easily move up. And then you kind of have to say to yourself, well, you got to give them two.
Right.
And either way, Jared Allen's going to get some votes from those Eastern Conference coaches.
Deservedly.
Like, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Darius Garland is an absolute lock to me. So there's going to be somebody who gets left off, you know, whether it's one of those Celtics who are also sometimes climbing in the standings, whether it's Jalen or Jason, that could take away Freddie VanVleet's All-Star spot. Either way,
LaMelo Ball,
right,
possibility. Right. The Hornets are actually winning a lot of games here.
Sure, but you Cavs are 1.5 out of first. What a story in the Eastern Conference. And they should have fallen apart so many times this season. We've talked about the injuries. We've talked about just how young they are. They just went on a 6-game road trip, and they went 5-1. A young Cavs team should not do that. They should have fallen apart so many times. In that OKC game, this is game 6 of a road trip, 6 games in 9 days. They could have easily fallen apart at half. But yeah, Darius Garland picked them up there in the second half. They beat the Bucks recently. They beat Jazz recently. They beat the Nets now. And they're getting the Bulls this week. They're showing the league how great they are. So yes, Eastern Conference coaches have to be watching this and have to be seeing this. That was great to watch Garland. Yeah, he's a lock because he's up to almost 20-8 on a crazy free throw percentage as well. 92. You gotta throw that. Yeah.
That's going to tip him. Knock him down.
I mean, if it comes down to the Elam ending, you want him at the line.
He's 21 years old. It's hard not to think about Kyrie in a Cavs jersey when he was younger and look at Garland and say, man, this guy is ours for a long time. He ain't going anywhere. Quick Cavs trivia.
Okay.
So he went for 27 and 18 assists. Fifth Cavalier to have 25 points and 15 assists.
Okay.
Name the other four.
Okay, LeBron. So LeBron and Kyrie.
I'm sorry, he's the sixth Cavalier. There's five guys. Okay. No, Kyrie never did
He never did.
LeBron?
LeBron did it 8 times. So there's 4 more names.
Mark Price?
No.
Wow.
Terrell Brandon?
Terrell Brandon did it once. Okay. Now I think you're only going to get one of the other 3 names.
Bob Sura.
No. No, but I never think of this guy as a Cav, although he played
Kevin
there.
Kevin Johnson.
No.
Who do you think? Where do you think of him as? What'd you say?
I mean, he bounced around.
Mo Williams?
No. Ooh. No. Our buddy, Ryan Seton has a jersey of his as a Cleveland Cavalier. because if
he saw this Anthony game, Parker? He's like, let me put it in order.
Andre Miller, this dream team.
Andre Miller's correct.
Oh, yeah.
3 times. So, and you're not going to get
it. Seth has that jersey?
Yes.
A Cavs game?
He was only there one season, I think. Maybe 2.
Maybe not a couple. Long, I don't know. Yeah. I think if Seth felt like if he embodies Andre Miller on the basketball floor.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He does play like him a little bit, yeah.
So, Braun, Andre Miller, Terrell Brandon, John Johnson, a couple time All-Star back in the day.
John Johnson.
And Bobby Washington. So that's it. But anyways, that was fun.
All right. Those are default players. Bobby. No way. John Johnson. And
Bobby Washington.
All right. So Garland, a big, big winner here of the long NBA weekend. Let's go to you next, Tass. I know we talked about the Grizzlies, but you got another one here for us.
Oh, the Atlanta Hawks. We're all winners because we don't have to go down there to the fortress again because the last time the Hawks won, we were there.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. The last time they won at home was November the 22nd. So they were going to need us to go down there and help them win.
Did you think the Hawks were going to reach out to us and say, can you guys get down here?
100%. And they're also a winner just because of the way they pulled this game out against the Milwaukee Bucks on MLK Day. Memphis and Atlanta, they have to win on MLK Day. That should be a rule. They were down 10 with just under 7 left. The exciting part for the Hawks, the guys who pulled this game out. On the defensive end, Onyeka Okongwu, know this guy's name. Stop calling him 00 on the broadcast. Just say the man's name. We can say Giannis Antetokounmpo. We can say Onyeka Okongwu. Great Nigerian name as well. He hasn't played a lot in his first 2 seasons. This is season number 2. But I say Giannis Antetokounmpo because he guarded Giannis really, really well down the stretch.
Yep.
He stripped him. He blocked him. And he was just able to physically stay with him, even though he's way smaller. He was able to stay down, and again, he's only played 50 games in his first season, only 10 this season. But there's a reason that they drafted this guy last year when they had Clint Capela on the roster. They can see him as their future starting center. So watching him down the stretch, you've got to be excited if you're a Hawks fan because they have been so horrendous. at home, and you just haven't seen enough flashes from the young guys. And then DeAndre Hunter, who has come back as well, who hasn't played a lot in his couple years here, enough anyways. But if you remember back to last year, first quarter of the season, he was their best player, in all honesty. He was outplaying Trae Young at times. And late in this game, he hit a drive where he was able to take the offense upon himself. So these are the kind of guys that have to play around Trae Young for them to be successful. Really, really great defensive players that can obviously provide some offense. So that was great. They snapped a 10-game home losing streak. The deadline just over 3 weeks away.
Ooh,
how are the Hawks going to tinker here? We think that Cam Reddish deal was a prelude to something else, and it sure feels like it still. But to see DeAndre Hunter in the starting role, it all fits a little bit better when those guys are playing well. So this is the Hawks team that can go and make some waves in this league. These two guys, I think, need to be really, really solid. So to see them pull it out was great against
the
Bucks.
And with Onyeka playing down the stretch, John Collins was not, because Gallinari was actually getting a chance to get them back in the game. You could read into that. You could start to go, whoa, maybe that does make him expendable. Maybe they look to move off Collins in his contract.
I wouldn't do that just yet. I mean, Gallinari did play well, I think when you're desperate for a win, whatever's working, you just ride in that moment. This was honestly felt like a bit of a playoff win from them last season, where Trey hits the deep three, everyone's contributing. Kongwu, that huge block. He had a massive block against the Knicks, too, on a Julius Randle dunk on Friday night. I don't know if you saw that one. That was the same thing. Randall's going to smash it, and Kongwu's right there. So that's where he can really make an impact, is blocking shots and keeping guys away from the perimeter. The one on Giannis was huge, because Giannis kind of beat him, and he got him from behind there. So the Hawks just had to get a win. It didn't look like it was going to happen, and they pulled it out there last night. But, yeah, there's some it makes a difference when DeAndre Hunter can play, and he didn't shoot all that well, but he was just good to be out there on the floor.
All right, so the Hawks get a much-needed win and winner of the weekend here, long weekend. Trey, what about you? Who you got?
Mavs had an ugly loss to the Knicks last week. That snapped their 6-game losing streak, or their winning streak. So they started another one this weekend, went 3-for-3 in 4 nights. They smacked the Grizzlies on Friday in Memphis, 112-85, triple-double for Doncic, 27-12-10. That's how you bounce back after a disappointing performance. They followed that up by taking care of business over the weekend. They beat the Magic on Saturday. Biggest moment from this one was probably Doncic taunting Mo Wagner. Mo Wagner got the big and one on him, and Luka says to him, Who the fuck are you? Cry baby. That's some brutal trash talk, man. Ruthless stuff from the donk. And then on Sunday, another wire-to-wire win over the Thunder, though the Mavericks did try to give it away. Pretty ugly stuff from both teams, honestly, in the last couple of minutes of this game. Giddy with a couple of rookie-looking turnovers there to ice things for the Mavericks. But that was Doncic had another triple-double yesterday against the Thunder. That's his third in 5 games, giving him 41 for his career. According to the Associated Press, every other Maverick who's ever played for the team combined has 40 triple-doubles, and Doncic has 41. Incredible stuff. 9 wins in 10 games for Dallas. They got a tough schedule coming up. They got Toronto, the Suns, the Grizzlies, and then they play at Golden State. Doncic hasn't been playing all that well. He's been contributing other than shooting. It's just been a little bit of a slump, but if he's able to hit some shots here, they keep playing defense and get some wins over these teams who they're chasing in the Western Conference, he'll be sauntering into that MVP restaurant. That's not a guy we've talked about as an MVP candidate really at all. Seems like he's got a little bit of a run in him right now.
I was just going to say, hey, we were in a car together yesterday for 10-plus hours with my buddy Grish. Our buddy Grish. You know the MVP race came up. God. And, we were debating with the Kevin Durant, injury, and we'll get to that later in the show. Like, does that take him out of the running? Who's still there? Is it Giannis? And then we threw out that idea, like, Luka's going to be sauntering into the restaurant, as you put it, and maybe grabbing a seat. Like, at some point, he's going to go on this type of run that he's on, and they're going to sustain it, and he's going to get the win. So,
how many multi-year bets have you got going after that drive yesterday?
There wasn't a lot.
He wasn't biting. No, he wasn't biting at all. Really? I asked him if this was the best Weekend in sports, because wild card weekend known as a great weekend. It is, it's like week one of the NBA playoffs. Nothing. He said,
wow.
Well, the games were not very good in the NFL this weekend.
Sure.
Not a lot of
well, that's games. Even more sort of like encouragement then for Grish to be just throwing
down,
out
yeah.
bets and,
true.
And yeah.
Anyway, that's true. So, yes, Luka and the Mavs, a winner. I got some more here that I'll throw in. We'll call them mini winners if you want. We'll try and move through them with some pace, and then we'll take a break and we'll get to the losers. But the Miami Heat have to be a winner. Bam Adebayo, he's back, baby. And he scored 14. He was gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot how long it was because the Heat continued to play really well.
Yeah.
And now here they are with Chicago, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia all losing on Monday on MLK Day. The Heat are tied. They're tied atop the Eastern Conference. They actually have the most wins,
yeah.
If you want to count it that way. They improved to 14-5 at home because they beat the Raptors there yesterday. Top three offense, top 10 defense. Again, Bam was out for 6 weeks. He's back. Butler's been gone for a good chunk of the season. We're debating whether he'll even make the All-Star team. Has he played enough games? We thought, well, does that go to Tyler Hero? Something like that. I just can't believe what Spoelstra's done here with this squad, and they have to be taken, you know, seriously as an East contender. When all healthy, you know they can beat the Bucks. They can hang with the Nets. You know, I know people will say, well, they got smoked by the Bucks last year. Well, yes, but
different team though now.
Exactly. You didn't have Kyle Lowry on that team.
Yeah.
So they're just awesome.
Top 10 defense without Bam for 6 weeks just shows how together they are. So, yes, they are an Eastern Conference contender. Absolutely. Feels like the Eastern Conference is opening up a little bit as we'll talk about the Brooklyn Nets. I heard the NFL is wide open this year.
Wide open.
Anyone can win the Super Bowl. And the way things are going in the Eastern Conference, of course the Miami Heat could win it. They could. They absolutely could.
Devin Booker, winner of the NBA long weekend. He played three games, okay? Played on Friday in Indiana, Sunday in Detroit, and then Monday in San Antonio. So all three on the road. Now, those are not amazing teams that I just listed for you. But Booker averaged 37.7 points per game in 33 minutes per game. Shot 53% from the field, 38% from deep, 80% at the line. He added nearly 4.5 rebounds and assists. He turned the ball over a total of three times in these three games. Just dominant. I mean, at the 48 yesterday, he was the leading scorer, and it's his season high. That's now on, like, you know, I just did that trivia with you guys not too long ago, 47 points or more this season, so you can throw Booker in there. Just awesome. I'm feeling really good about my Suns going back to the finals. Hot take got buried by your crazy Stockton Damian Lillard take. But
more to come on that.
Oh, more to come. I can't wait. But anyway, the Suns, they don't play now until they just took care of business. Again, these are not great teams they played, but my God, they're a juggernaut. And when Booker plays like that, I think they're next to unbeatable. And they don't play until Thursday night, so they can just chill here for a little bit.
And Booker's being trolled every arena he goes right now by the by the mascots. They're trying to put him off the free throw.
The coyote there.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing in Indiana it was, where they had like a dinosaur, a couple of dinosaurs there, and he's taking it all in his stride. He realizes he looked like a bit of an asshole the other night, so instead he's like, all right, make fun of me, it was worth it. But then he's going out there and absolutely cooking the teams on the floor, so that's all that counts really. But he's looking awesome at the moment.
Yeah, and then final one here, I want to throw in Stanley Johnson. I did not think I would have this on my list here. If you had asked me, you know, heading into the weekend, would he be a winner of the weekend when we came back on Tuesday? He scored 10 of his 15 points in the fourth quarter for the Lakers to get the much-needed 101-95 win over the Jazz. I say much-needed because LeBron was apologizing to Lakers fans after getting killed by the Nuggets, after Magic Johnson was lighting them up. He said, I'm sorry, Laker Nation. I'm so sorry. And Stanley Johnson, this guy was just re-signed to another 10-day contract, and he was hitting big, timely buckets. He had a jumper late to tie it up. Then he had this nice little move around Gobert. And so him and LeBron and Westbrook playing well with the big dunk on Rudy, they got the victory. But Stanley Johnson,
playing for his NBA life.
Yeah.
And he's scrapping it out, obviously, even on the defensive end as well. He was making a difference, I thought, watching that game in the fourth quarter. Just back to Devin Booker real quick.
Sure.
He played in Detroit, one of those three games. I never think of him as a Michigan guy. But that's where he grew up. He's been all over the place. Went to high school in Mississippi and then played at Kentucky. He's like us. Taking a jaunt in the South. He's been in every state. We went through four states yesterday.
Hey, hear that, Lee?
Really?
Wow. Impressive, eh?
That's very impressive.
Did you do the holding hand? Was it one of those ones where you like you link up?
No. We drove through.
We did
hold hands most of the time.
It's great to see the South. It was great to see the South.
Well, the South and the Mid-South. As we learned.
Did you notice the time change? What was it like going through, like, actual the... you know, what's it called? The equinox, is that it? Something like that. Well, you drive through and you're actually going back in time.
It's crazy.
It's like you're in a DeLorean.
Thank God we did, because we would have missed the game.
Yeah.
We're like, lucky that, we're coming from Eastern Standard Time to Central there, gaining an hour.
Absolutely. And we're lucky that that Memphis is close. It's the Mid-South. It's a Western Conference team, but they are hosting playoff games because they're going to be a home court advantage team. So we're pretty close.
So we driving or flying?
We're pretty close. I don't know. We got to figure it out because the Hawks have to pick it up.
It's true.
If they're going to host some playoff games this year.
We could drive to Charlotte. That's not that far.
That's right. Let's do it both.
It's just one road.
There you go.
How far is it from Charlotte to Memphis?
Probably 10. 9-10 hours, I suppose.
Pick them up.
You know what? Let's take a break. Fire up Google Maps. Figure it out. And when we come back, we'll get to the losers of the long NBA weekend.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, let's get to
Compo
losers of the long NBA weekend. Trey, why don't you get us started? Because we know, unfortunately, where you're going.
Yeah, speaking of Browns, these guys have been the Browns for the past week. I hate to do it. First loser of the weekend of the season to the Chicago Bulls on a 4-game losing streak. It started with that loss to the Nets where they gave up 138 points. I was fine with that one. The big three was all playing. Yeah. They were clicking. They're going to lose sometimes, but they played Friday again against the Warriors. Warriors were coming off a blowout as well. No Draymond Green. Zach LaVine went out with a little bit of a knee injury pretty early, and the Bulls got blown out again. Gave out 138 points again on national TV again. Oh, tough one. Saturday night, they played hard against those Boston Beantown boys. Billy Donovan said they played better in that game than they did in some of their wins, which is definitely true, but guess what? They blew it in the fourth quarter. Bulls have been pretty good in clutch situations, but they were not in this one. 4-point lead with a minute and 2 seconds left. Some bad shots, some bad rebounding. Rob Williams, a bad free throw shooter, goes to the line, knocks down 4 of them. And then my guy Vucci gets a wide open look at 3 to win it. And he just scraped that front rim. Just scraped it a little bit. Oh, boy. And then yesterday, another national TV game in Memphis. They were out, man. They were outclassed. And they kept hitting Vucci with the nope. 2 for 13. Looking foolish at times, if I'm being quite honest. They're banged up right now. There's no LaVine for these last couple of games. No Lonzo. The problem versus the Grizz, that was a problem because they had no space, no shooting. We talked about it earlier. They had so many turnovers in the paint, just like trying to throw the ball into Vucci. And it would hit his hands, and they would just, like, smack it out of there. It's gone the other way. The bigger issue to me, though, is that every one of their athletic players, I think, is hurt right now. DeRozan and Vucevic, they like to walk the ball up. They're kind of plotting guys. LaVine's out. Caruso's out. Javante Green is out. Derek Jones Jr. is out. And obviously Lonzo. That's, like, 5 of the best athletes in the rotation. The way the Bulls were good at defense in the first half of the season is that they had crazy activity, kind of similar to the Grizzlies, right? Like, if you had an open three-pointer, Alex Caruso is flying at you to close things down, and then you got to skip a pass, and Lonzo has great instincts. You get a steal, you're going the other way. They haven't had that at all for a few weeks now, especially, you know, with health and safety protocols. The team now is down to 20th in defense. They're just playing too slow right now. It's not getting better either. They got Cleveland on Wednesday, Milwaukee on Friday. Caruso's getting close to coming back. Green will be next, and luckily Levine didn't have a serious injury. He should be back pretty soon, but six straight losses is not unreasonable at this point. We're at four. Another two could happen. And the East, like we've said, it's tight right now. Somehow the Bulls are still in first thanks to that winning streak, but they're just 2.5 games up on sixth. So great first half of the season. That's what it was for the Bulls last year. They fell apart basically after the trade deadline. This has been their toughest part of the season, and they're playing their worst, and they're banged up. And I think there is a little bit of dog days of the NBA going around right now. We're seeing some weird blowouts all around.
Yeah.
Schedule's going to get easier next week, but it has been ugly. So they need to get a win against either Cleveland or Milwaukee.
Yeah. Vooch was trending on Twitter yesterday.
This is how bad it got. Trey Kirby in attendance, like we talked about, in Memphis for the Bulls-Grizzlies game. Trey Kirby was yelling, "Do something!"
He was doing nothing.
"Do something!"
I think he had
heckling his own team because he was playing that poorly. Yeah.
0 points in the first half. Mm. I don't think he played in the fourth quarter. Seven though in that third, man. He was feeling it. Nope.
He was trending. Well, that have to do with
a bad weekend for Vooch all around.
With
quite honestly,
Djokovic. What's his name?
That's his name.
Because he had some comments about him. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. When I say Vooch, I don't mean his name Vucevic. I mean V-O-O-C-H is trending. Wow. So that knows you're having a bad day when your nickname is trending like that. But I think it is a credit to the Bulls. You know, they've lost five or six, and they still, on percentage, are the best team in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, they did all that incredibly hard, good work to start the season. They can kind of survive a bit of a bump here like this. And you know when they get back, because like any team, when you're missing a lot of your star players, and Caruso, it feels like Caruso hasn't played for months. It's
been a long time.
Yeah.
December 4th.
They miss his sort of hustle, I think, off the bench and his intensity that he brings. Obviously, Levine is a huge problem when they don't have his scoring. And Lonzo Ball as well, they miss him. So there's, you know, reasons to understand. This is not just like, well, they were punching above their weight to start the season. It's like, it's tough to win when you look at that roster and it's like, you know, McKinney and then White and Dosunmu out there, and you're like, okay, they're shorthanded right now.
Yeah.
It was ugly. It was ugly just watching all that space for the Memphis Grizzlies. Vooch Island can be fun when things are going well, but every Grizzly was on an island out there. They just were not getting out to those shooters. There was so much space. And sometimes I forget watching on television because it looks like everything is so close together, but it's a pretty long distance if you're packing the paint and they're having trouble with pick and roll defense and Vooch ain't getting out there just to get way out there to three-point shooters. And man, there was a lot of space, and I don't think it's a coincidence Caruso has been out for a long time that their defense basically has matched him. Yeah. They're 26th in defense since December 1st when, you know, Caruso was there a few days later. And that was the scary part coming into the season. Was their defense going to be good? If their guys are back, Caruso, I think they should be back. But it's just the national TV thing, as Trey was going through.
Keep them out of here, man. Like, let's just stick on League Pass. Let Stacey King cook on the broadcast. We don't need to see this team on national TV until they put together a nice winning streak again next week.
That was their best game on national TV yesterday. A 13-point loss. Wow. Darnell Mayberry went through it. Went through it. 26-point loss to Golden State, 26 to Brooklyn, 42 to Golden State, and then that 13 to Memphis. Yikes.
Maybe they'll get the NBA TV game if they make the playoffs there.
Okay, I'll take it.
You might want it. Exactly. Less eyeballs, I guess, on it. All right. So, yeah, the Bulls, an obvious loser. I'll go next here. The Brooklyn Nets, I think, have to be included in this bunch, too. Now, they lost to the Cavs on Monday, so that's a part of it. They fell to third in the East, but you guys talked about how jumbled it is. But in the game prior, Durant sprained his knee. Brooklyn is saying he's going to be out about 4 to 6 weeks to recover that. That's pretty consistent with the grade 2 sprain there of the MCL. But then we got Kyrie saying, "I'm not getting the COVID-19 vaccine." You know, he was asked about it. Now with Durant going to be out, you're still just playing these road games. You cannot play in New York. And he said, quote, "No, I stay rooted in my decision, and that's just what it is." He said a lot more than that. You can go watch the clip if you want to, but he's not going to. And so unless anything changes in the state of New York, or this, maybe there's this possibility of they can be paying fines if he plays. I don't know what the actual update on that is. But right now, he is just a road player, and Durant is now out. And this is not good for Brooklyn, because this is crazy if you think about it. And I saw Pelton break this down. He crunched the numbers. when you get Katie back, if you get Katie back around the All-Star break,
yeah,
you know, if you're optimistic, okay, let's say that happens, they're going to have 10 remaining road games to have their three superstars play together. 10. And they haven't played, they've only played 10 regular season games together as it is. They played one playoff series, you know, against the Bucks. Excuse me, against the Celtics. And that's it. So they played like 15, 16 games together. That's it. At all. And the part is, like, they can play together, but you do have to figure out who the hell is playing with them and what their roles are. So this is crazy that they're really going to have probably 10, maybe less, road games, unless anything changes here, which doesn't sound like it is, Tass.
Counterpoint.
Okay.
They played 8 games together last year in the regular season.
Yeah.
Then Kyrie got hurt. Then James Harden got hurt. And they almost knocked off the champs. Very, very close. Without
fair.
A guy and a half. I don't know. I don't know how to really diagnose this thing.
I don't think there's any way they should be the favorites to win the title. I think that's crazy to me.
I mean, if Kyrie's only playing half the games, that's a yes. I mean, that's how do you prognosticate that? It's very, very difficult and unprecedented. And as the rules become more strict in Brooklyn, the rules are now that you have to be 5 and up and show your vaccination card if you're 5 and up. So it doesn't seem like things are changing for Brooklyn, even though it is a few months away, and Kyrie is becoming more rooted in his stance that he's only playing half the games.
Yeah. What do you think about Durant, the injury, and can they weather the storm here?
Well, it's obviously a concern. Anytime you hear MCL, ACL, whatever it is, it's like that's one that you don't want to mess with, like it was with his Achilles, remember?
Well, done the MCL before and then did come back and kicked ass in the playoffs. So
yeah, so I guess the good point is that we have seen him really bounce back to the point where he's an MVP candidate again. So when he gets back, you know he can get back and deliver. But when you hear that 4 to 6 weeks, you're like, I just hope they don't rush that back. And I don't think he will. I think psychologically, Kevin Durant's like, there's no way I'm stepping on the court until I'm 100% feeling great. That's just my own guess there. So
and also, like, when their three stars are playing, they're going to be like, we can go into anyone's arena and win a couple of games.
Yeah.
And they might want that because then Kyrie could play in that game, which is the funny part of this whole thing. So, yeah, they're not. I wouldn't think they'd rush him back.
No.
Even if they're falling, slipping to 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah,
or something
exactly.
Like
when you got Kevin Durant there, you just want him healthy, and then it doesn't really matter who you're matching up against. You're a tough out. So, but they've still got some issues there, of course, in the middle. They look thin. Nick Claxton's been out as well, so they've got that to address. But when you've got that offensive firepower of those three together, they're a tough matchup for anybody.
Would you, like, lay money on them to win the title, though?
No way. No, even when Durant comes back, as good as he is, I still just think they've got a gaping hole there in the middle that they're trying to fill with an Aldridge and a Blake Griffin. And we've seen those guys this year a lot look very slow at times.
Yeah.
So, I think the Bucks would still be my favorite from the East right now.
Any thoughts here on the Nets, Kyrie's injury, Kyrie's comments, them just floundering a little bit?
Maybe it's a blessing in disguise that Kevin Durant's going to sit out a little bit here, because there's been a lot of talk in the past month about the Nets playing Kevin Durant too many minutes when, you know, Kyrie hadn't come back to the team yet. Harden was out. They had a lot of COVID protocol issues as well. So he was playing, you know, 43 minutes with a bunch of role players and having the time of his life. But everybody's like, hey, man, you might get injured. Maybe we should slow down here. So maybe slowing down will be good in the long run. And maybe it gives the Nets a little bit more motivation to go into games and give it their all. They're only 4-8 in the month of January, and it usually seems to me that they're just kind of out of it, right? Like, they just don't give the full effort. Like, they obviously got up to play the Bulls on national TV and smacked them. So maybe a little bit more motivation here for James Harden to keep things going, cement his all-star case, and keep the team in the top half of the Eastern Conference. And then Kevin Durant will come back a little bit closer to the playoffs, get in rhythm, and have had a little bit of a rest, you know, 6 weeks of rest. It could work out all right for the Nets, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's a favorite in the Eastern Conference right now, because the Bucks are struggling as well with Jrue Holiday out, and we still don't know what's going on with Brook Lopez.
Yep, it does feel open.
I'll just jump in for the KD is the best player in the world momentum. This kind of slows that down, which stinks. I think this is the longest stretch where we've all sort of said Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. I think in his 15-year career, there hasn't been a longer stretch.
Really?
Yeah. Since the last year's playoffs, even Giannis Antetokounmpo, who went up against him, was saying and continues to say he's the best player in the world. Since then, I think unanimously across the board, people have said that. And I think everybody's comfortable saying that. I don't think there's been a longer stretch. Even though he was MVP in 2014, Bron was still looming over him.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Bron is obviously playing great, but I think, yeah, universally we can all say Kevin Durant is the best player in the world, and that's going to slow the momentum down a little bit because it's Bronze League until he's gone. But Kevin Durant can come back and grab it. But I think, yeah, this is the time where, even though he's one of the all-time greats, I think this is the longest stretch that we can say that.
I think people would counter that maybe the playoff stretch there when he's on the Warriors and, like, obviously racking up finals MVPs and going even toe-to-toe with LeBron.
Yep.
That could be. But, you know, like, I guess I'm not convinced that this season he's, like, run away with that, you know, that title. Giannis playing, with Jokic playing, with, you know, even LeBron playing still the way he plays. Curry. Goes on and on. There's just so many guys.
Yeah. But I think it was more of a debate with LeBron even in those series.
Yeah.
Because LeBron didn't have the better team and KD did. And now, yeah, I think this is the biggest gap that he's had. And he's been increasing that gap until this weekend, really.
Well, I think he's left the MVP restaurant, though, unfortunately.
Mm. LeBron. KD. Kevin Durant, yeah.
Because he's going to miss 13 to 15 games, minimum, probably. He's already missed six, so you're getting up to like a quarter of the season, and you don't really have much of a chance, I don't think, to win MVP, right? No.
But I also think for him, that's not what he's chasing now. He desperately wants a non-Warriors championship, so he wants to be healthy and as ready for that as he can be.
Let's go to you next. Who do you have for a loser of the long NBA week?
NBA referees.
Oh.
Because, look, the taunting...
Every weekend.
The taunting after a dunk tech has gotten out of control. On Saturday night, it was Phoenix and Detroit, and JD's actually got it here. It's rookie Cade Cunningham, with a beautiful baseline move here. Look at this spin. Almost a bit of a Smitty there.
Oh.
Dunks it, and then just points to Jalen Smith there. That's all. That's all he did.
Yeah, maybe he was pointing out Jalen Smith, like the Smitty. Maybe this move was named after you, Smitty.
Yeah, now look at that. That's a beautiful move.
He might be pointing at his own bench, too.
That's what he says.
Like,
Jalen Smith got caught in the cross point.
Sort of think so.
Anyway, that was his second tee. He got ejected for that.
That's insane.
He got ejected. Now, then last night, Russell Westbrook's had a very rough season by his own standards. He's been lit up by Lakers fans in the NBA.
Yeah.
Had a throwback dunk for the ages here last night on Rudy Gobert. Just punches it on Rudy. Now, he barely...
Now, that might be...
But not as questionable.
Yeah. But come on, like, how in a moment like that are you supposed to not feel some sort of visceral... emotion? Like, he's not going up to Rudy in his face like, I'm gonna punch him in the face now.
He's flexing.
He's
maybe saying something.
Talk about, like, an anticlimactic moment, like, oh, there's a dump, boost, I'm gonna give you a tech foul for celebrating, for enjoying that moment, for expressing yourself. Like, Westbrook, you know, again, he has had, this is, I think, been the worst season of his career in terms of, like, the blame that he's getting, the production, just the way he's been playing. And you know, he's been getting into it with people in the media and stuff like that. And he goes out there and throws that down. Let the man express himself. Like, how can you honestly call a tee for that? For him just, like, crushing it on Rudy.
Oh, my God.
And then just, like, I mean, just roaring. I think it's ridiculous. Now, I'm going to say this.
Come on.
This one is kind of a guarantee.
But, so for me, though,
I agree with you, but this one is like going to be a tech every
time. So this is my proposal to the league.
All right, let's hear it.
Because they don't want people getting into fights over it, right? That's why that's what the technical, I believe, is there.
It's a little thing called, you know, be sportsmanlike.
Right,
I guess.
But again, come on, let emotion take over and that's it.
Sure.
I would say make it a team tech, not an individual tech. So you still get a tee, the other team gets the free throw, right?
Okay.
But then, because Cunningham should not be ejected
right,
for what he
did. Right, because he's picking up his second here,
Like, so make it an unsportsman. You know, if you hang on the rim, that tee doesn't go to you. If you get called for a tee, that goes to the team. I only found that out.
No,
I can't remember what it was last year. Someone from the Wolves dunked, they got a tech, and it was like, it's not a personal tech, it's a team tech. We'll make this the same.
Okay.
Because it's just ridiculous to have Cade Cunningham ejected for a play. The game was, you know, a blowout anyway. He's been good. And then Westbrook yesterday, I mean, I just thought it was absurd to get a tech foul for that.
What do you think about that idea? That's not a bad idea. In that instance, you know, you flex, you big dunk, you bark, you flex, whatever.
I got
team tech.
I'm looking at Ziggy's comment here in the stream team. It's people have flexed since the 80s. It's not new. Let it happen. I mean, I lift a 25-pound dumbbell and I flex. Russell Westbrook just dunked on the Defensive Player of the Year. And the baseline cam, seeing him come hunting that rim, going after it, and then getting Rudy Gobert.
And that was that was therapeutic, too. You could
But it wasn't even a taunt. It was just a little bit of a home, like, puff the chest out.
Yeah.
I'm looking in the mirror, feeling great. That's it. I mean, it wasn't really...
That's it.
It really wasn't all that much. Yeah, the team tech, sure. I also don't know what team techs are for quite often.
I didn't even know they really existed until last year. But
you're all being bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't like
tech,
that.
Team tech, team rebound. Sure, you can change that.
Is that factual that flexing was invented in the 1980s?
I mean,
Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco invented flexing, I believe, on the Bash Brothers. I actually think a team tech is perfect. It's very similar to, like, you know, in the NFL, if you go overboard, they're giving your whole team a penalty. So, like, yeah, give the Jazz one free throw for Westbrook dunking all over Rudy Gobert, screaming in his face, and then chest bumping every other player who was out on the court. Because he got a chest bump from every other Laker there. So it's like, I don't know, 30 seconds of celebration? That's worth 1 point to me.
Absolutely. We do not want to take these sort of moments out of the game in any way where you have the guy just dunking on another guy for fear of him, like, hang on, what if I react and then I get a T and I cost my team? Like, he's got to be able to do that. And it was instant, too. The ref
it was quick.
Oh, man, come on.
And LeBron coming over to him. This, regardless of the tech, this was a good Lakers moment. LeBron, point guard of the team, coming over to the other guy, Russell Westbrook, and it was a bonder right there. You don't see LeBron get.
This could be a TSN turning point for the Lakers season?
This is a Tony Parker. TP right here.
It may have been for Frank Vogel, because there was a report out from our Sam Amick here in the Athletic today that he was nearly fired after their last loss. And he remains on the hot seat. So that's a huge.
I actually didn't even see that.
Yeah, it only just came out, I think, maybe just before we
just
went on air.
Just coming across the newswire, is it?
So Frank Vogel would have loved it.
So Vogel would have been like, I'll take that tech.
Yeah, of course.
Save my job.
Give me the tech.
Yeah. All right. Good one. I mean, another huge dunk, too, just to slip it in there because you're talking big dunks. Kyle Kuzma. Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Over Embiid. Those are some good highlights this long NBA weekend.
Of all the guys to not get a taunting tech, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah,
buddy.
Yeah.
The guy loves taunting.
Yeah, it's a good point. Taz, take us home here. Who is your loser of the long NBA weekend?
Another dunk.
Oh,
created mine. Scotty Barnes, huge dunk on the break for the Raps.
Oh, yeah.
A beauty. Yeah. And my loser of the weekend goes to Caleb Martin, who touched Barnes' back on his way up.
Always dangerous.
Don't
always dangerous.
Touch Barnes. Don't touch him.
We'll get Cellino on you.
Oh, boy. That's a upstate New York joke for you right there. Cellino and Barnes, your injury lawyers. That was probably one of the more enjoyable things driving through the South, is seeing all the injury lawyer billboards.
Yeah, we had some good names. You remember any?
Oh, Morris Bart?
Morris
How many
Bart.
Calls? One call, y'all.
I love those guys. He's got the name.
Morris
in a crash.
Bart.
Call John
All
Nash.
Those guys look the fucking same. I'm convinced they're one guy in every state.
Get hit, call Neil Flint.
Yeah. They love it. They're like, yeah, you've been in a crash? Yeah. Give me all that money. I love it.
They just put it into billboards, apparently.
Morris Bart. That was one name Trey had to add to his
good names list.
Good names, yeah. Because it's...
What's his billboard going to say? I'm trying to think.
Who?
Morris Bart.
One call.
That was it.
He had several.
Right. Yeah.
I want to get up on that billboard and put a comma after Morris, because I'm sure it's Bart Morris. I'm pretty sure they
just
screwed up.
You think his name is Bart Morris? Not Morris Bart.
Yeah. Well, Morris is a last name. It's not a first name. Morris Bart. It's Bart Morris. But we also...
Caleb.
No. Back to Barnes and Salido. No, usually, as you said, it's men, but we have also a Mama Justice.
Oh, we did see Mama Justice.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Justice. Mama Justice. Don't know what her name is. Doesn't matter.
Maybe her name is Mama Justice.
She changed
Justice
it?
Mama.
Justice Mama. Right. Totally. Anyways, don't touch Scotty, Caleb. You always see those things happen. And Scotty didn't overreact whatsoever. No. Three guys went into the crowd. Martin, Barnes, and Tyler Hero was there. And he yeah, totally played it off, and he wasn't injured whatsoever. But it's very scary.
Yeah,
just let him dunk the thing, because Caleb was from behind. I had flashbacks of Klay Thompson, you know, getting hit from Danny Green in the finals, which is different because it is the finals, and you kind of have
it's
to
a
go
play
for it.
The ball, yes, yeah, yes. It's tough. You don't want your defender to ever give up on the play, but as we've talked a million times before,
so
the tiniest touch when a guy's airborne can, you know, and disastrous.
They went into press row there, yeah, and into the crowd, and somebody could have easily been injured, any of those guys. But obviously, Scotty Barnes, don't touch Scotty.
Don't touch Scotty. Scotty too hotty. Okay, those are our winners and losers of, again, the long NBA weekend, you know, slash MLK Day there. Let's hear from you guys. I know you're dropping your suggestions in the stream team. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. We're going to take one more break when we come back. Tweet of the night, pick 'em results, and a little bit more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickle bottle paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Yeah, nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No,
I did not know that. Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDunks.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night, Lily. What do you got? You got a prop here.
I have got a prop here, actually. The tweet comes in from Chris Herring, Herring NBA.
Yep.
Because this came in yesterday. Blood in the Garden, the flagrant history of the 90s New York Knicks, is officially on sale tomorrow, which is today. If you don't pre-order, I'm fining you and committing a hard foul. Now, I have been fortunate enough to have read this book already, and I can tell you it is awesome. Nice. It is so awesome. In fact, Chris is going to come on the show and talk about it with us tomorrow.
Woo!
So I really can't wait to talk to him about it, because if you're a 90s basketball fan, and even if you're not a 90s basketball fan, you'll learn so much about just how impactful those Knicks teams were, especially at the start of the decade there with Pat Riley. And then when he moved on, I won't give it away too much, of course, but really enjoyable read. Lots of incredible stories and anecdotes in there. It's going to be a blast talking to Chris about it.
Okay, so there you go. You've got, what, less than 24 hours to go get this book and read it before we talk to Chris Herring here on the podcast tomorrow morning.
Yep.
Very excited about that. Did you fly through that, Lee? I can just see you ripping through that.
So it was funny. Talking about flying through, I actually was reading it on the flight from Atlanta to Toronto. I was so engrossed by it, I didn't even realize the plane landed, and I'm still reading, and I was like, oh my God, I haven't raised my the tables in front of me and things like
God.
That. I know. I was like,
that's
oh,
not
wow.
on you. That's not on you.
Well, yeah, I mean, the flight attendants did come through and sort of say, but for some reason,
I'm reading.
I re-lowered it, and and I was reading, and then I was like, oh man, I shouldn't do that. That's a felony.
That's on you.
But so many great stories there, like I say, about just how tough the Knicks were, how rough they were, and how the league sort of maybe changed some of the rules because of their roughhouse tactics.
Sure.
But really good stuff.
You know, just to really drive home why you should buy this book, I haven't read the entire thing yet, but within the first three or four pages, there is a story of Xavier McDaniels walking around the locker room fully erect with his towel hanging off his member. I believe I am, you know, sort of paraphrasing his words here. Three pages in, yeah. A story like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So you know you're in for a good book there and a good read. So
yeah, I had Xavier McDaniel on Poppin' Packs. Didn't ask him about that. Maybe I'll do
Poppin' Pants.
Poppin' Towels.
All right, so towels. Chris Herring is going to join us on tomorrow's podcast to talk about his book, and we'll talk about the NBA with him and a whole lot more. Really looking forward to that. Excuse me. All right, pick 'em results. Was this Friday night's game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going way back in time here. It was the Raptors-Pistons game. Raptors were favored by 7.5 in Detroit. We sat here and said, ugh, big line, especially considering Dwayne Casey never loses, it feels like, to the Raptors. Didn't take my own advice. I shared that stat with everyone, you know, that fact, I guess. I still took Toronto, and so did Trey, and, well, they lost. They straight up lost, like we basically said they would. Good call by Task, good call by Lee there to take the Pistons and the cover there. So you guys are all tied at 4-6 in the month of January. I'm 7-3, so I'm a couple games clear, but what's the big game tonight?
Two games in the association tonight. Only two.
Thank God we're talking
games.
To Chris Herring tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. And the New York Knicks hosting one of those games. A 2.5-point dog against the Minnesota Timberwolves, coming off a game where they allowed 38 to Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
We said we were going to connect it. Yeah. A bridge from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. Miles dropped 38, which was great to watch. Anyways, the Knicks at home. So you guys don't have a lot of faith in the Knicks. I understand that, watching them lose to the Charlotte Hornets at home on MLK Day. So the three of you rolling with the Wolves. As Trey said, there's a lot of backwards things happening in the NBA right now, so I'm taking the Knicks.
Okay. Lee, why are you going Minnesota?
It's a tight one. The Wolves have been playing better. The Knicks have been better at home, actually, too, recently, apart from yesterday's game. Just one thing about the Raptors. How do they then lose that game and go and beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee?
I know. Well, they own the Bucks.
How does the Pistons own the Raptors?
The Pistons own the Raptors, and the Raptors own the Bucks.
So let's say the Raptors and the Pistons met in the playoffs. They would probably lose, but if the Raptors play the Bucks, they'd probably win. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying.
It's all topsy-turvy right now.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Guys, got to call it there. We got to get ready for Chris Herring tomorrow. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern live here on YouTube. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can tweet them in at nodunksinc. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. And again, yeah, really looking forward to Chris Herring joining us on the show tomorrow. Only two games on. We can really focus on these games tonight.
Absolutely.
It's good. Too many games on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got football going on. Monday Night Football playoff game? When the hell did that start?
I don't know. What about the fairness?
That's not fair.
That's not fair. The team has to travel.
Quick turnaround.
Just like us in Memphis.
That's right. All right, guys. So we'll see you tomorrow live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I just realized I should love Just Egg a lot because it's made of beans. And I love beans and an egg. It's made of mung beans.
Mung beans? We were talking about mung beans.
It's the number one ingredient.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Brace your mung beans, people.